What's up, podcast listeners? It's Mushtaq here, back with another podcast, one of the co-editors from The Real Champs. Of course, I'm hosting this podcast, and yeah, this one is going to be very different, very, I guess you could say, easygoing. Some of the guys and I, some of the contributors from The Real Champs and I, decided we just wanted to, I guess you could say, shoot the shit, excuse my language, and just talk about some interesting things that have happened. Of course, we've been on international break for the last 2 weeks. Just want to talk about who stood out to us and some of the awards that are coming up this September 24th. We all wanted to fight our little battle as to who we want to win. So I guess we'll just start off with the international break and who stood out to us so far. Anthony, you want to go first?
Yeah, I got it. And of course, I got to give it to Gareth Bale, the Welsh Dragon. I mean, if you didn't like what this guy did to the Republic of Ireland, and that is a very, I'm sorry, any Wales fans, but that is a very weak Welsh team. I mean, they got Giggsy as their manager now, so props to them for getting a legendary manager. But when Aaron Ramsey is your next best player behind Gareth Bale, you have a couple problems. But Gareth Bale, man, this guy, he took his form that he had at the beginning of the season in Madrid and took it right over to Wales with him. It wasn't like the Gareth Bale show. They were definitely playing some good football. They were moving the ball around nicely. Ampad, he's another young guy. He's the one with the crazy hair. He's really hard to miss. He even looked good out there. He had a couple of those balls where it's just like, all right, I'm just going to play this, and Gareth is going to go run and get it. All right, this is going to work. And it worked every time. So props to him for figuring out that, hey, if I just kick it at Gareth Bale, something good's probably going to happen. But Gareth Bale with the classic just cut inside on the left foot. He even had to slow down to get the ball because this defense was just not able to keep up with him. And just an absolute bomb to the left side. Just any time Gareth Bale is within 25 yards, you're looking at a possible highlight goal. And with Wales especially, he has the freedom to do whatever he wants to do because he's their guy. He's just very fun to watch there.
At just 3 points, just going off of what you said, Bale's an absolute machine with Wales. It's ridiculous. The goals he scores, like, I think every goal I've seen him score for Wales has just been, like, some stupid screamer from, like you said, anywhere within, like, 25, 30 yards. Like, that's just, like, a kill zone for Gareth Bale. My second point, it still blows my mind that Gareth Bale makes more than his whole team put together. I just think, it's kind of funny, but it's also kind of sad. Like, I feel bad for them. Like,
but at the same time, it's like, it makes sense.
I think Chris was devastated during this game.
Sorry, Hustle?
I think Chris was devastated during this game. I saw his Twitter, and he's just like, as much as I love Bale, like, what is his Irish showing?
Again, yeah. Unfortunately, Christopher wasn't able to make this podcast either. So, Chris, we're really sorry for your loss, but we love you deep down, and that's.
I was going to say, this is our shot to take the shots against Ireland. They got waxed by Wales. Chris isn't here to defend them.
He's suffering emotional trauma.
Maybe that's why he really didn't join the podcast.
Yeah, that's the reason.
He knew someone was going to take the piss out of him, so he's like, nah, forget it. I'll just wait till this blows over, wait for the league to start up again, and then I'll jump back on. My last point was going to be, you said legendary players taking over the national team and Ryan Giggs, of course, taking over Wales. I think it's going to be cool if Zidane takes over France. Like, I
hope he does one day.
You don't think so?
No, I hope he does.
I hope he does.
I'd hate for him to coach. I don't know about you guys, but like these rumors of him, you know, coaching United, like, I feel like it pains me to see Zidane play. Of course he could play for any other club. But to coach another club, I know it sounds weird, but it hurt more to see Zidane leave than it did for Ronaldo to leave.
And I don't echo that sentiment, but it will hurt to watch him at United because I don't like United very much. I have a very big hatred for United. But seeing him in the dugout of United side, especially if he, like, does well as well, that'll hurt even more. I kind of don't want him to do well, but same rate I do. Just so I can go at every Zidane hater I've seen, both on Twitter and real life, and we called him a cheerleader and he doesn't have tactics and stuff. I could be like,
Pettiness level 1000.
What are you saying now? But
It's like, but it's kind of true. I never understood the argument people have to say, oh, well, he's only done it with one team. Like, it's not like he won just a league title. Like, the guy won three champs. Like, that's ridiculous.
In a row.
Exactly. It's not like it was over, like, a 20-year career. It's in a row.
Here's my new theory about Zidane. He's going over to Manchester United so he can then sell Pogba to Madrid.
I don't want Pogba at Madrid.
I don't want Pogba at Madrid either.
Whoa, you'd be upset if you saw Pogba in a Madrid jersey. With Modric hitting 30 years old.
I don't think I'd say upset, so to speak, but I'm not a fan of Pogba generally. I don't rate him as highly as
some. I feel like he's so light switch, like, you know?
Yeah, no, he is. Just like 100%.
Either he's on or he's off. Like, there's no in between. Well,
you got to put him around the right players. I mean, look at him with the French team and then going back to Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, but even in the French team, I don't think you can ever compare.
Sorry, go on.
No, go on. You're halfway through.
No, I was just saying, I think that's a very harsh statement to make, to say, look at that guy with his national team and then look at him with his club team. Like, it. When you're with your national team, you're surrounded by the best from your nation. Like, from irrespective of where they play their club football, the very best. So it's like, of course you're going to be good. But you can't expect to play at a team that's at that level, because national teams are always going to be just a little bit more superior, or maybe just on par with the top clubs in the world. And it's hard to ever judge, because you can simulate it on FIFA and that's about it.
Exactly. But the other thing I just like about Pogba, with the whole, like, oh, look, he does this at France and he's so poor, you know. The thing is, at United, right, it's not like he's surrounded by an absolutely awful team. There's some good players in that side. But then there's the other thing where it's just like, I hate Pogba's fans in the sense that they build him up to be this absolute beast of a midfielder who can do it all. He can't tackle to save his life.
That's debatable.
He can't tackle. Colin, you've only got to watch the recent United games. His tackling is woeful.
Who's a better tackler, Toni Kroos or Paul Pogba?
I think Kroos is actually a better tackler than Paul Pogba is.
That's his bias.
No, honestly, I think he is better defensively than Pogba. Pogba's defensive capabilities are shocking. He knows how to make fouls, but nothing more than that. I mean, you only had to watch him against Arsenal last season to show that one.
Well, I'll give you the whole argument with the, it's harsh to say that about the national team, but his only dip in form in his career is strictly at Manchester United. You realize that, right? Juventus, he was a monster. France, he's always a monster. But with United, they aren't using him correctly. Him and Mourinho don't see eye to eye. You'll have those random games where he just says, screw it. I'm doing it. I'm doing my own thing. And that's where, like, that Manchester City game when they came back on them. That was Pogba just saying, like, you know what? I'm just going to run through all this. I could go through a wall right now. I'm going to just take over. He can't always do that. And also, he goes from a midfield of Matuidi and Kante, who can cover him the whole time, to who do they have? Matic and Herrera, maybe Mata in there, who they're supposed to be the defensive guys, but they are not Kante and Matuidi.
Kante is the only player.
And that's
in that
the
two,
thing. Like, that's what I was saying.
Say this good.
Sorry, I keep cutting.
No, it's right. Don't worry. I was gonna say Matic is better than Matuidi. I don't even hazard a guess. Like, Kante's another level.
Defensively, I agree.
Defensively,
yes.
He's much better. Matuidi is not all that great defensively. You only have to watch him against Barcelona.
Attack minded.
Matuidi isn't that good defensively.
He's not better than Matic. He's nowhere near as good as Matic defensively. It's not. Trust me, it's not. You only have to watch the two of them play. Matic is very, very good defensively. Whereas Matuidi is good going forward, but, like, I hate to say this, but to use the term bitch here. He's a bitch on the ball if someone...
Oh, that is just ridiculous. I've never heard anyone say that about Matuidi.
Here's my theory at the end of the day, just to, like, sort it out, at least from my point of view. Good players need other good players around them to be good. Great players make those around them better.
That's exactly the sentiment I share as well.
I think if Paul Pogba was as good as his fanboys say, and Anthony, I'm not calling you a fanboy, but his fanboys on Twitter say, honestly, seriously though, if you're that good, you should be able to have that impact where you're making those around you better. Like, if you're really at that level.
Yeah, you lift your teammates. It's true.
Are you saying that?
And it's not what you do just on the ball. It's also what you do off the ball. Like, he's so laxed when he's off the ball.
Dude, when is the last time you guys watched Pogba? This guy's been tracking all
the time. Did you watch him against Spurs? What did he do in that game?
He had to drop all the way in for all the fucking set pieces and corners and stuff.
He was woeful against Spurs. He was absolutely woeful against Spurs. Even against Brighton, he was shocking as well.
He definitely has good games, but I just think they're too few and far between.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. If he can show up against Man City, then why can't he do it on a regular basis, is the way I see it.
Because he doesn't.
He has the quality. He surely has the quality, but it's just like that lack of consistency, at least in my eyes, not that anyone gives a shit about my opinion, but I'm going to say it anyway. In my eyes, it'll always have like an asterisk beside his name. Because if I'm building my 11 and I have to pick from my Real Madrid squad and Paul Pogba there, I wouldn't start Paul Pogba. There's other people on my bench and in my team in Madrid that I'd rather put.
I'll definitely put Pogba over Casemiro.
I wouldn't, because you completely lose all defensive ability completely. There'd be nobody
teams
to tackle.
Teams would part us like Moses parted the sea if you put Pogba in place of Casemiro. I'd rather put Marcos Llorente in place of Pogba just to hold that defensive midfield. There's no way. Pogba's great fitness. Like, he has literally, like, the specimen of, like, the perfect athlete. But, like, I don't know.
Problem is his attitude.
His
attitude absolutely sucks. You can watch it. If he gets tackled, his head drops and he doesn't chase back.
I feel like you're picking out very little plays that probably don't happen that often, but when they do happen, you're just like, oh, there it is again.
It happens too regularly. All right,
Real Champs listeners, next Manchester United game, Anthony, Hassan, and I we'll all be watching the game
let's do a live, let us know
what you think on Twitter at the Real Champs FS, what you think of Paul Pogba's performance in the next game. Let me find out when that next game is. It is also Saturday, September 15th, the same day Real Madrid plays against Atletico Bilbao. If you want any info on that pregame, jump to the recent podcast, which is podcast 5. We talked about that as well. But the next game, it's against Watford. Lowly Watford.
I'll go one better. I'm likely going to the Juventus game at home for United. If Pogba performs well in that game, and I mean he's the man of the match, I will walk into the club store, I will buy a Pogba jersey and video it and put it on the Champs FS. Why not? There you go. There's my cards on the table.
I was going to say, are you going to send me the jersey?
I'll send you the jersey. I'll send it first class post.
All right, awesome. I'll be waiting.
I'll even put a note on there saying that you're the greatest man on the planet and sign it with my name.
Thank you.
I feel like we're going to be waiting a while for United to play a very high caliber opponent. Just looking at their schedule, maybe October 20th when they play Chelsea. But then again, that's just 3 days before they play Juventus.
I'm going to the Juventus game. I'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'm telling you now, he ain't going to perform. Ronaldo masterclass.
Anthony says no. It's going down, ladies and gentlemen. Let's run a poll on the Real Champs. What do we think of Paul Pogba? Actually, no, let's see while we're on the rest of this podcast. Let's run it in the meantime and see what people have to say. Yeah, I don't know. There's just, to be fair, there's not many other midfielders I would want right now anyways. It's not exclusive to Paul Pogba, just because of how much talent we have, and we just haven't really used it that much.
I can't think of many midfielders that I've taken. I don't think there's any I'd take inside right now.
Really? You wouldn't take like a Dybala or a De Bruyne?
I don't really know if you class them as straight up midfield. I mean, someone who just sits in the middle of the park, like a Modric, someone like that. I mean, De Bruyne, you can make a case he could play in that area, because he sort of does, but he plays more advanced. I'd play him more advanced. It just suits him better. Just off the striker, you'd see results if he plays just off the striker. Like, ridiculous results.
What about, like, a Coutinho?
Depends on... I don't know, because in our system, I don't think he'd play just as a straight central midfielder. He'd have to play as a winger, and I don't think I'd want
Yeah.
to sacrifice anybody else for him.
What about
Even though
Goretzka?
that... Second, sorry, Goretzka.
Yeah, Goretzka.
I do like Goretzka, but is he ready yet, is the question.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm just throwing names out there now. Trying to think who PSG has in the midfield, if I like them at all, because I'm not a Rabiot.
PSG's midfield is actually really not very stacked if you think about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think I like Inter Milan's midfield better than theirs.
Inter Milan feels ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous.
You know what they're missing? A little
What are they
Croatian.
missing? Yeah, I'll
That
go with that.
laugh, oh my
Well,
gosh.
I just think it's funny because there's no
Anyway, I think
confidence.
we've debated enough about Paul Pogba.
Yeah,
I
let's
just
get
put
back on
a
course.
yeah, I put a vote up, so we'll look at it towards the end of this podcast and see what we think. Hassan, I'll let you go at your player of the international break kind of thing we're calling it.
So I'm gonna go with someone that went a little bit under the radar, if I may say. I think Dani Ceballos deserves a lot more credit than he got. He was absolutely exceptional against Croatia. He was ridiculously resistant to the press, especially in the first half. You didn't see that turn he did in the first half. You're missing out. It's pornography, to be honest. He was very, very crucial to breaking past the press that Croatia were putting on Spain early on. His circulation was ridiculously good. It was incisive. Every ball had intent. So if you consider the fact that he looks like a guy that's just had a year off, he's done all right. I mean, just fire a few stats off at you. He played 95 pass, sorry, 72 passes and 95% accuracy rate. Made four tackles. Made two dribbles, I think. He was pretty solid all round. Absolutely pretty solid all round. I can't knock his display. And I'm pretty sure he played a pretty solid ball through to lead towards one of the first two goals, I think it was. I think he played to Asensio. So yeah, he had a solid game all out. So I think if he gets more minutes this season, he's gonna be frighteningly good.
Do you see him getting a lot of minutes this season?
I think he will do. I think Lopetegui likes him quite a lot, as we saw in their days at the under 21s. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get more minutes this season.
Well, I certainly hope he does, because I'm not as big of a fan, just because I haven't paid attention to his game pre his Real Madrid time as much as you have. But in what I have seen of him, he's just so nifty on the ball, and I think his ability to just change pace so quickly in direction, it, like you said, just makes
Well,
him
that last season,
really enamoring to
yeah,
watch.
that last season at Betis, he was the third best dribbler in the league behind only Neymar and Messi, so that says enough.
That's a pretty big stat to boast for anyone.
Exactly, that's elite competition you're chilling out with there, especially Neymar that season. Neymar that season was ridiculously good, so to be in that sort of company is that's pretty impressive for a guy that was only 20 years old at the time.
Yeah, these young kids are like absolutely just killing the game. Some of them are just beyond their years with their technical ability. It's just ridiculous.
I have a question for you, Hassan.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
What player do you think, like, what kind of style does Ceballos do? Like, what, like, two players do you think he looks the most like? Since he's under the radar, like, who would you compare him to?
He's a bit of a jackknife in midfield, so I'd say he's quite similar to Modric, but he's got a bit of more of a defensive capability. Maybe because he's a little bit bigger than Modric is. But I'd say, yeah, in terms of like for like, I'd say he's very much like a Luka Modric, to be honest, with just a bit more defensive capabilities.
Who do you think is better at dribbling, Ceballos or Modric?
At present time, obviously Modric is more complete at this time, but once Ceballos develops properly, I think he'll be probably one of the best midfielders that we've seen in the last 20-odd years. That's a bold claim.
Tread
That's a
carefully.
bold claim, but I'm willing to make it. It's got to be made.
It's
We're
got
all about the bold claims. We're all about those bold claims.
It's a podcast of bold statements today. My player is, it's not as cool as their selections, because theirs were a little more analytical, but mine just has to be Marco Asensio, just because of how ridiculous he is. I don't know. It's just like, I think it's the player. Like, we always knew he had it in him. It's just that breaking out of that shell. And he's definitely spread his wings time and time again. But I think now with, you know, no Ronaldo on that left wing position open, it just frees him up to get more minutes. And when you play consistently, you know, you get into a rhythm and a groove of things. And obviously that's something you need in any sport, whether it's football or not. Of course, international break, he absolutely smashed it against Croatia. He only got credit for one goal because the other went off the back of the goalie. Literally, it went off the bottom of the crossbar, hit the back of the goalie, and into the
net. Okay.
But I don't understand that either. I think it's like absolutely ridiculous. Like, if you said Loris Karius was a known goal, then I can understand. That's a known goal. But, two goals, four assists. It's two goals in my eyes. I don't care what the stat sheet says. And four assists is pretty insane for 22 years old. I definitely think he's coming into himself. And like I said, getting those minutes that weren't available before because of Ronaldo there. I don't know. I don't want to start up the whole who should have got the number 7 jersey debate, but I
let's not open that can of worms.
Sorry?
Let's not open that can of worms.
I'm waiting for Happy to come. That's the only person that can take the number 7, in my opinion.
Who was that, sorry?
I said Mbappe. I'm waiting for him to come. Only one that can take number 7.
I think we're all waiting for that. We're all waiting.
Mariano just keeping it
warm. I feel like it just needs to happen. Like, it's inevitable, really.
I don't know. Cause some days I wake up and I think, yeah, he's going to be a Madrid player one day. And there's other days it's like, it's just not going to happen, boys.
The reason why I think it'll happen is because at the end of the day, the league is still just looked at as like Bush League, like, you know, Sunday football. It's not all that competitive. It's like 2 or 3 teams, maybe 4, who compete for the title. And like that one season Monaco won, wow. Like PSG's won like 6 in the last 7 or something.
I think I think Neymar's going to throw a hissy fit eventually when he realizes the attention is not on him. Because as he typically does, he's going to either ask to leave himself or he's going to stick it on the board and be like, it's me or him sort of thing.
Yeah, I think if Mbappe wants to really put himself in the, you know, in the history books when it comes to club football, obviously he's already done it on the international stage, ridiculous. But if he really wants to do it with a big team, like, and a fan base that will truly remember him, I think Real Madrid is the place to do it.
The real X factor here is if he wants to win a Champions League, he knows where to go. That's it. That's my only point.
I agree.
Well, PSG aren't going to win it because they're bottlers. That's all they are.
Yep.
It's the same trend every year. They brought this person. Their team looks great. Oh, they bottled it at the round of 16.
Yeah. I agree. I think if he just wants to establish his name in the world of football, I think he has to come to a club, you know, at our stature, like, and it's going to be Real Madrid. And he was a fan of Real Madrid even in his youth. I mean, he's still a youth, really, but, you know.
Yeah, no, the way I see it is you want to put some respect on that name, you go to a real club. PSG's not a real club.
No, they're not. Like, you want to go to a club with, you know, history and kind of has that culture. You know, the Real Madrid, Manchester United, those are the kind of clubs that you go to, like even Chelsea. So, yeah. Anyway, that was my player of the international break, Marco freaking Asensio. By the way, I'm buying his jersey this year. I'm finally going to do it because the kid is absolute madness.
Can I just say one thing about your two players you guys picked?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I really appreciate that you both picked Spanish players and you guys both got to talk about how they beat the absolute piss out of Croatia. And I think the cherry on top of all of it was that was Rakitic's 100th appearance for Croatia. And he got to celebrate it with their biggest defeat ever. So thank you for that, Spain. Thank you for you guys bringing that up just so I could rub it in his face a little bit. I just really appreciate it.
I'm going to say something a bit less
to be fair, my heart kind of softened for Rakitic just because I saw how, you know, close he was with Modric and that like brotherly relationship they had, and the things that he said about him in the post game reactions. Like, it's just so classy. You don't oftentimes see, you know, players from rival clubs talk about one another in such a high regard.
That's literally what, like, I was going to say. I've actually taken a bit of a liking to Rakitic lately as a result of that. Outside the fact that, like, I think he's a good player as well. I think he's a great player, Rakitic. I do rate him. Out of all the Barcelona players, he's probably one of my favourite ones.
Oh, no. It's just one of those things where you don't like them because they play for Barcelona.
That's why it annoys me when I see Barca fans shitting on him, because he's not a typical Barcelona player. He's fantastic. He might not be to the whole pity-patty football, but, you know, he's a great player. He's just got those things, like the fact that he can just blast the ball from outside the box. That's just the stuff you like.
Can I just say, like, how awkward must that be? You know, like, you fly into Madrid, you know, Modric flies back home, half of the Spanish national team flies back to Real Madrid,
it's gonna be a bit awkward.
And you meet at the training facility, and you're like, yeah, hey, what's up? How was your international break? Sorry, I wrecked you. 6-0.
Kovacic went back to London kind of calm about it, because there's not so many of them.
Yeah, he's like, he's probably thinking to himself, thank God I'm not going back to Madrid.
Yeah, it's not like Morata made it to the Spanish national team. Anyways.
Oh, man. I find it kind of funny. But, yeah, I kind of, like you said, grew a liking to Rakitic just because of how supportive he was in Madrid.
I have one excuse for that. National break is over. You're back to being my enemy. You're in Barcelona again. There are tons of players like that. Like Diego Costa for Spain. I love watching Diego Costa for Spain. As soon as he isn't on Spain, I think he's a scumbag again. Like, there's a ton.
No, we alternate there. I hate Diego Costa in Spain, and I hate him for his clubs as well. So,
oh, it's so fun to watch with Spain. Watching his little antics when you're actually rooting for that team, it's fantastic.
He reminds me more of, like, a basketball or a hockey player, because in those sports, you kind of have more of, like, that one guy. Like, he's good, but he's more of, like, a shit disturber.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should have been,
like,
Canadian.
I don't know if you watch basketball, but he's kind of like Draymond. Sorry,
he's Lance Stevenson.
I was going to say Draymond.
Yeah, okay, that's probably better.
I know who Draymond Green is. I don't know who the other guy was.
Lance Stevenson's funny. Just go on, listeners, if you just want a bit of a kick or a laugh, just go on YouTube and just type in Lance Stevenson, LeBron James, and you'll have a field day. Believe me, the highlights are very funny. I think Anthony knows what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of stuff that he does with LeBron. They're actually on the same team now, though, so.
Is he on Pepe's level? Because Pepe's the one.
Oh.
No, Pepe will literally just, like, RKO you on the field, though. Like, Lance won't do that. He'll be really weird about it.
Yeah. I do miss Pepe sometimes.
Oh,
I definitely miss Pepe.
I think what's nuts is pretty sure the last game he played was against Atletico Madrid, and he scored against them as well. Then he picked up a rib injury, and we never saw him again.
Poor guy. I feel for him.
R.I.P.
I feel like he's one of those players who just, like, never wanted to come up against Real Madrid in competition. So he's
Thank God he plays for a crap club. Sorry, Besiktas fans,
but you are crap.
Together.
Yeah, they're a pretty garbage club.
The entire Turkish league is garbage, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know how they get a spot in Champions League. But speaking of Champions League, well, kind of things to do with Champions League. Of course, we had some UEFA awards earlier. Modric won, Ramos won, Keylor Navas won, Ronaldo won. I mean, like, I know he's not with us, but you know what I mean. But there's another award. There's more awards, rather, coming up September 24th. Of course, none of us are going to pick Mohamed Salah to win the Ballon d'Or, because I think that's weird. And dare I say, I think Messi should have been in that top three, but that's okay.
FIFA best, also, you mean? It's not the Ballon d'Or, FIFA best. Ballon d'Or is in January next year? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like December or January.
I don't know how they let me host this thing. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, we gotta talk to management.
Yeah, I'm getting sacked after this, so this is it, guys. Podcast 6.
So there's
awesome.
A vacancy for a host if you're wanting one.
Yeah, if anyone wants to apply, just go on the Real Champs FS Twitter page. There's a link there. Just click that, and you can apply. Anyways, the FIFA Best Award is what it's actually called. Who are you guys putting your money on to win? Or who do you want to win and who do you think should win?
I think Ronaldo's going to win it. But in terms of who I want to say, because it's him, Modric and Salah in the final three, so I don't really want Salah to win it because I don't think he really warrants it. Despite the fact that he had a good season, he won nothing. That's the main point here. And all the other Twitter idiots who are comparing his season to Ronaldo in 2008, you're all a bunch of buffoons. Ronaldo, I'm pretty sure, won a treble that year and was instrumental in them winning everything that year. Salah has a lot of help from Firmino and Mane, let's be frank. So, yeah, that's my opinion on it.
Anthony, Mr. America, what do you think?
Oh, that's Captain America. But
oh,
I was actually just thinking that after I said Mr. America. I was
if
like,
only your name was Ryan.
Dude, that's no, that's Ryan Plant.
I know. Just say, could we call him Ryan Reynolds? Isn't that the guy that plays him? Or am I thinking of someone else?
No,
I'm thinking of someone else.
No, Ryan Reynolds is Canadian.
He does Deadpool also.
Yeah.
Am I thinking
the
wrong
guy? Who does?
Is it Chris Evans?
Yeah, what's his...
yeah, it is Chris Evans.
Yes, Chris Evans. That's it.
Yeah, it's Chris Evans. My bad. Sorry, I'm not a Marvel DC geek. My bad.
Neither am I, but like, come on. I was like, get your together, bro.
Don't disrespect his Canadians, man.
Yeah, it's Ryan Reynolds. What's wrong with you?
I like Canadians. It's always Justin Bieber.
Thank you, Austin. I appreciate you. Thank you. Why don't you come to my fine country so I can show you a true Canadian experience?
You can play.
Is that an invite?
Maple syrup.
Bro, my house is always open to you.
All right, I'm going to fly out at some point in the next few months.
I'm totally dead. I don't know if you like a winter, so maybe not in the next few
months. I know, I'm a bit of a summer boy. When's the season good?
Oh, okay. So then I guess you're fine. Anyway, Captain America, who do you pick for your FIFA best?
All right, so first of all, Sergio Ramos should win FIFA's best, but since he's not up there, I want to see Luka Modric win it. I mean, he's just putting in so much work. He won three Champions Leagues in a row. He was a key part of that team. He took Croatia. I don't want to say he put it on his back, but they were definitely on his legs because that dude covered so much ground and distance. So,
that guy hauled
ass.
Yeah,
and
oh,
all the games ended up going in the extra time also. So just like it was definitely a really long summer for Luka Modric. And to win the best player at the FIFA World Cup, which is the biggest football tournament in the world, I really do hope he wins. Also, Ronaldo, you have so many trophies. Do you need this one too?
Yeah, just share a little bit.
But no, Ronaldo.
Just cut it in half. Just cut it in half and give him a half each.
Yeah, exactly.
And then give Salah a rub on the shoulder.
Maybe they can just cut out like the shoulder part of the trophy. I don't know what the trophy looks like, but it'd be funny if they did that. I would have to say I'm kind of in this weird predicament where like I want Ronaldo to do it because I want him to just like further cement like, yeah, he's the best goddamn player of all time. I mean, at least, let's just say this generation before I get crucified. But then I also kind of want Luka Modric because I just feel like he really deserves it. Like Anthony said, like the guy hauled ass the whole World Cup. He worked so hard. You know, he got to a final, won another Champions League. Definitely a huge part of that. He may have not scored the goals like Ronaldo did, but if you don't think that Modric is a huge part of Real Madrid winning 4 and 5 Champions Leagues, I strongly urge you to go back and just watch at least one game where Modric is playing, and just look at his influence on and off the ball. It's absolutely ridiculous.
He's a magician. He's an absolute magician.
I feel like I'm kind of in that stage where, like, when Juventus fans were really about, like, Buffon, were like, no, he deserved it. I'm like, what the hell do you mean he deserved it? Like, you don't deserve it. Either you earn it or that's it.
No, Buffon didn't deserve it. I don't care. He didn't deserve it. The whole thing was like...
So I'm a bit undecided. I feel like I'll be happy either way, so...
Yeah, that's how I see it. So if Ronaldo wins it, I'm happy. If Modric wins it, I'm happy. If Salah wins it, then I don't know.
Twitter's going to hear me complaining a lot if Salah wins it.
I don't think it'll just be you. It'll be a lot of people complaining about it. Unless you're a Liverpool fan.
Oh, well,
it's the only trophy you've lifted this year.
Online anyway, so you're probably going to be seeing mostly Liverpool anyway.
Shots fired.
Yeah, exactly. But... It'll be the only trophy they list this year. It'll be Spurs syndrome. Oh yeah, he won the trophy, so we won the trophy.
Oh,
get lost.
Liverpool.
Another trophy that is up for the taking, I guess, is the award. And if you don't know what the Puskás Award is, should we tell him, or you can just go read the article on the Real Champs? If you don't know, as a Real Madrid fan, again, I really think you should. It is named after Real Madrid player Frank Puskás. I wrote a bit of a snippet on him in one of the articles about Gareth Bale being nominated for the award. He, of course, had some ridiculous stats. He was Hungarian, I believe, and scored like a ridiculous amount of goals. He's, of course, you know, somewhat of a Madrid legend as well. And he was known for scoring, you know, insane goals, hence why the most beautiful goal of the year award is named after him. Yeah, so from Real Madrid, we have two players, literally almost identical. Well, not almost identical, but very, very similar goals. One from Cristiano Ronaldo and the other from Gareth Bale. Whose do you prefer, boys, and which one do you think will
win? It depends on the criteria here, to be honest, and how you look at it. In terms of meaning, in that sense, the argument, Bale's is more meaningful because it was in a Champions League final. But if you want to go on just the pure beauty and technique of the goal, I think Ronaldo's was much better. He had to jump higher off. The velocity he sort of forced on the ball was just ridiculous. The cross wasn't that great. The whole movie started himself as he chased down a loose ball, played it back out to Carvo, in turn played it back. He was running away from the goal. That was the worst thing as well. So I think in terms of technique and just like the sheer beauty of the way it was scored, Ronaldo's is a lot better. If you want to...
Anthony, just before... Sorry,
you
want to
go for what, like, in terms of how important it was, obviously Bale's was a much more important goal against the quote-unquote concussed carriers.
Anthony, before you answer, podcast listeners, if you do want to vote, because the vote is based off of a few medians, one being the press, another being, I believe, international coaches. Sorry. Yeah, but basically fans can't vote. So if you go on the FIFA Best Awards or just search out FIFA Awards, you actually can go in, create an account, and just vote for your favorite defender, goal, who you think should win the FIFA Best Award, a whole array of things, all the stuff that's happening. So definitely go out and vote for our guides, because they're in the race for quite a few accolades. Anthony, Captain America, please, your answer.
First of all, isn't Madrid up for every single award? And I'm
pretty much, yeah.
I'm sure they're the favorites also.
Madrid is every single award this year. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
So, to me, if you're going to pick between the Gareth Bale and the Cristiano goal, I think the Cristiano goal, like you said, the technique was legitimately perfect. He was running away from the net. It was a perfect flip, like perfectly straight. Everything about it was perfect. Like, if you ever had to teach a young player how to do a bicycle kick, that's the video you want to show him. I think Bale's was much more impressive because his was like one of those training ground shots where you're just like, all right, well, I guess I'll just reach for this and see how it goes. And it just all adds up. It hits your foot the exact right way it has to, and it just drops right in. He was off balance. He was reaching at a funny angle. I think, like, he was biking, but the ball was below him still, type of deal. Like, it just looked absurd. So when it ended up in the back of the net, I was shocked. It didn't even hit me at first until I, like, saw the ref kind of point to the middle. I was like, wow, that really just went in, type of deal.
I agree with you. It didn't seem kind of just like, eh. Like, let's just, like you said, training ground. Like he kind of just threw his body up there and was like, ah, well, let's just see what happens. It seemed so, like, kind of like he was drunk.
Whereas Ronaldo's looked like it was, like, meticulously practiced. Like, you can tell he had that down. Like, that.
Perfect. Yeah, like, it looked like it was an.
He'd ironically been working on it, like, in training a few days before.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, and then afterwards, he kept doing it like a nutcase.
He'd been trying to get that goal for years, though. I mean, how many times did you see Ronaldo try that goal?
Well, didn't he try it's to nuts. Get on, like, Puskás' one birthday or something, or when he was, like, about to pass him in goals?
Yeah, and he tried that, and he missed, I think. But
yeah, it was really bad.
He tries that, and he tries a scissor kick a lot. He's always trying a scissor kick.
But yeah, I think Gareth Bale's was more impressive than me, but Ronaldo's was just beautiful. And to get a standing ovation from a Juventus crowd like that, from such a big club, it was definitely a very special goal, but also coming off the bench. And I think that might have been Bale's first shot of the game in a Champions
Literally,
League
Literally, he just walked straight on the pitch.
Yeah, he just it seemed like he just walked right on the pitch and was like, all right, yeah, just kick it at me, I'll handle it.
I mean, that takes some serious balls. I'm not going to lie. It takes balls to do that.
Yeah, because imagine you just sky it like out
of the Champions League final where there's so many people watching, you just miss the ball.
Yeah, and you're just like, what the hell are you doing?
And it's like, oh, lol, banter, how embarrassing.
Anyway, the last topic. We're up for a lot of FIFA Pro 11, whatever the heck it's called. I don't know, but it sounds glamorous as hell, and it is wonderful.
Yep, domination.
This team is just...
domination, boys.
Honestly, this team is just ridiculous. I think the only thing that scares me at this point is just aging.
Yeah, it's depressing. You're thinking everyone's nearing 30, or is it over 30? It's just like, oh,
yeah.
No.
Modric just turned
Modric
33.
Modric is 32, Ramos is 32, Marcelo's just turned 30 this year, I think.
See,
Bruce
I don't think I pay attention to those numbers anymore ever since I've seen LeBron James coming to the NBA and Cristiano Ronaldo, who are just playing and there's no drop-off, really, and they get older and older. Like, once I see the drop-off, that's when I'm going to blame age.
It depends on players. Like, you won't really see the drop-off athletically, seriously, like in a player like Ramos. But in terms of, like, someone like you saw Ronaldo runs less now. He doesn't do the whole, like, I'm going to run past 60 people on the pitch twice over. Do all the step-overs in the world and the fancy flicks. You don't see that out of him anymore.
Yeah,
but he's just evolved into being an absolute beast up top. So it's one of them, really.
I just think those two have just absolutely won the gene pool, though. Like, when you look at, like,
Ronaldo
these,
and LeBron are just,
like, out of
perfect
this world
humans.
Athletes. Like,
they're perfect humans.
Yeah, Ronaldo, LeBron James, you know, and you can see them in other sports as well. Like, you just look at swimming, you have Michael Phelps. You look at sprinting, you have Usain Bolt. Like, you know, the odds of making it to get those genes so that you're the right weight, height, size, proportions, everything is just... it's so astronomically, like, close to
impossible.
Well, I mean,
they're the blueprint
and that's
now,
why,
though. Like, they were the first guys to, like, use technology and dieting the right way. Like, if you really want to be great, those are the sacrifices you have to make. We're talking about two of the greatest athletes ever.
I definitely don't doubt that part. Like, there is a system, and, like, as a health science student, I know this. Like, there is a method to the madness of, you know, increasing your longevity, being able to sustain yourself in games over, you know, longer period of time, you know, over the duration of a long season. Like, it is crazy to that extent how well they take care of their bodies. But at the same time, I think, like, just Mother Nature has a role to play in it. It's like either those genes click on or they don't. And it's like, unfortunately, you get it or you don't get it. I mean, look at Marco Asensio's situation. The kid almost never played football in his teenage years. I don't know if you guys heard the story, but apparently he had something where his legs would feel like they were on fire after a full match of playing, and it used to be really painful. The doctor said he'd never get over it. Somehow it ended up happening that he did get over it, and he's, of course, fine now. I just don't think it'll be some time before we see, like, a freakish athlete like that again. I think you could say Kylian Mbappe is maybe one of the next ones.
Yeah, he's definitely a freak of an athlete. There's no doubt about it. You don't see people like that just come up at all. I can't remember the last player like that I've seen and thought, yeah, he's an exception. I don't think there's been anyone since Ronaldo and Messi broke out in that regard.
Yeah, I just think that it's so hard to match that physical capability, you know, outside of, you know, like, yeah, sure, there is Messi, but if we were to do, say, a combine, and for those of you who don't know what a combine is, it's basically where in those, like, prospective NFL athletes go basically do an array of physical tests just to judge and so how potential teams can see, you know, the capabilities of these college athletes. I think if you were to do one of those, I think Ronaldo would just like slap the hell out of most of his competition.
I think he did one not long ago, a few years ago, called Tested to the Limit. I don't know if you've seen it.
I saw the one on like ESPN Science Sports.
No, he did
something.
Another one. There's another one he did where they do a bunch of tests and they make him do sprints and stuff in straight line, one where he's changing direction, one where he does shots in the dark and how high he can jump and stuff like that. Apparently, he jumps higher than your average NBA player does, which is frightening.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's just a freakish athlete. I don't know.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see how, in comparison, Messi is at the same age, at 33, 34. Whether he ages as well, or whether he drops off and changes position in the same regard. Would he run as much? Definitely be interesting.
It's going to be a good one, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a very interesting but sad departure from like one of the best ever to play the game.
Oh yeah, I don't like to think about it. I hate to think about it.
Well, on that note, before this podcast gets too emotional, Well, before we go down that depressing road, thinking about our favorite players retiring and leaving the beautiful game, and before we close out this podcast, let's just take a look at the poll and see what happened earlier in the podcast. We're all kind of arguing as to whether we'd want Paul Pogba at Real Madrid. Hassan said hell to the no. Anthony was like, oh yeah, he's cool, he's great, love him, bring him over. I wasn't as hell no as Hassan, but I was kind of just like, eh, we got enough talent of our own, don't think we need them. Anyway, we asked Twitter, it's been about like a half hour now, 18% of people said yes, and 82% of people said no. So, Anthony, I know it's not the answer you wanted, but guys, that's the answer. So, thank you to whoever voted, and it's cool if you listen to this podcast and you voted as well, because you're now a part of the
podcast.
I'm
so upset with all of you who voted. At Chope AJ, feel free to argue with me about it. Paul Pogba, if once Zidane goes to Manchester United, will be the best midfielder on the planet.
Ooh.
Bold statements, bold statements.
That's a bold one.
Shall we end it there? I think that's a good spot to end it. Just a bit of a cliffhanger.
Strictly bold takes.
Strictly
Angela
bold.
Doesn't die.
It's going to be the title of this podcast. Anyways, thank you, podcast listeners. That's your vote. 83% say no, 18% said yes. Thank you again for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it. Check out our Twitter for Q&As. Drop us a question or a topic, something you'd like us to talk about. We'd love to hear it. Being one big Real Madrid community, the best club in the world. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy your day, night, morning, evening, wherever you are listening in the world. Let us know where you're listening in the world. We'd love to hear where all our listeners are from. So again, just send us a tweet. Anyways, hola Madrid.